Hi, everybody. Welcome to Pitch Talks. Thank you so much for coming. I am Laura Armstrong. I am the Blue Jays beat writer for the Toronto Star. I am pinch hitting for Ashley Docking tonight because she ran into something else, so you guys get me. She is a much better host than I am, but I will do my best. So with me, I have Scott Crawford. He is the Director of Operations for the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame, and he has a fun announcement for you guys before we get to Mark Shapiro. Now, before we get there, let me tell you that if you guys want to ask Mark Shapiro a Q&A at the Town Hall, which is going to start in about 5 minutes, then you need to go over there and you need to put your name in that bucket. Do not put a question, put your name, and once it gets pulled, I guess that's how it's going to work, we will raise your hand and we will find you in the microphone and you can ask Mark your own questions. But I'm going to turn it over to Scott. Scott, tell us about what's going on.
All right. Thanks for having me. Everyone looks good tonight out there. We're nice and high up here, so it's interesting. Well, the Hall of Fame and Pitch Talks are partnering for a brand new special event similar to Pitch Talks tonight, but it's going to be a VIP experience on June 14th, which is a Thursday night at the Rec Room, which is near the Rogers Center. We're going to partner with Pitch Talks and do a VIP night. It's going to include some food, some drinks, interaction with our 2018 inductees, and then they'll be up on stage just like things are going here tonight, so we're pretty excited, along with, of course, the rest of the lineup for June 14th. But the night's going to be kicked off with our 2018 inductees, which, of course, Pedro Martinez, Lloyd Mosby, and Bill Humber, and then you can go and check out the show and ask some questions and listen to what they have to say.
How many of you guys recognize those names? So, Scott, tell us a little bit about the inductees before we get moving.
Yeah, as you guys will recognize, a couple of those names, of course, Lloyd Shaker Mosby. He was the Blue Jays center fielder from 1980 to 1989, stole over 250 bases. He was one of the first legendary Blue Jays. He partnered, of course, with George Bell and Jesse Barfield, made that outfield for the future, which we're all pretty excited about in the 80s. And he lasted a long time. He was there in 85 when they won their first division. So he's well-deserving, top five in every category for the Blue Jay history. So he's well-deserving, and he's pumped. He lives down in California, but he still does a lot of stuff for the Jays Care Foundation and the Blue Jays, so it's pretty exciting. The other fella, he played in Montreal, named Pedro Martinez. You might have heard of him. Pretty good pitcher. He's in the National Hall of Fame in the States. And we're going to get him in our Hall of Fame this year. He pitched 4 years in Montreal. He was an All-Star twice. He's the only Montreal Expo to win a Cy Young Award. So that's pretty impressive after all the great pitchers the Expos have had. And one of the most unique things about Pedro, if you remember, when he won the World Series in 04 with Boston, he gave a shout-out to the Expo fans and how much Montreal meant to him. He felt really safe and accepted in Montreal. So he loves the city of Montreal, and he can't come back either. And our third inductee, you don't know him, but you sure should. His name is Bill Humber. Bill is the top Canadian baseball historian, and when we get questions of the Hall of Fame, we call Bill, because Bill knows more than we do, and that's how important he is to baseball history in Canada. He just lives over in Bowmanville, so he's nice and close. He's done with Sabre stuff. He's all into baseball history, and he's our third inductee this year.
When I have questions, I call Bill, too.
Perfect. We all should.
Exactly. Anything else? Anything else we need to know for this weekend?
Yeah, it's a three-day event. So, of course, the Pitch Talks VIP event, which is, I believe, live on the site now. Get your tickets. And we have a golf tournament the next day. Again, if you like Pedro and Lloyd and our former inductees, Fergie and Pat Henkin and all kinds of guys will be out there at a golf tournament in St. Mary's. And, then, of course, it's all about June 16th. June 16th is the induction ceremony in St. Mary's for the Hall of Fame. 1 o'clock. It's outdoors. There's 1,000 baseball fans there. All talking baseball. So it's awesome. Come on out and enjoy it on June 16th.
So the Pitch Talks event is June 14th?
Correct.
Thursday night. Homestandsports.com, I believe that is the correct website. And if not, you can definitely check it out at Pitch Talks on Twitter. They'll have a link. Thank you so much for being with us, Scott.
No problem. That was great. Thank you.
No problem. Scott Crawford, everyone. Okay, so for those of you just coming in, Mark Shapiro is going to come up here. You guys are going to have a chance to ask him all the questions you want. I'll ask a few, and then we'll put it out to you guys. If you have a question, you want to head over to that bucket, like, right now, and put your name in that bucket, because we are going to pull names, and then you guys are going to have a chance to answer your questions. There are going to be two lovely ladies, Amanda and Jordan, in the crowd, and they're going to be able to give you a hand. I believe they're wearing Pitch Talk shirts, so that will help you out. Without further ado, guys, Mark Shapiro. I would get up and welcome you, but I'm worried I'd fall off the stage.
Yeah, I'm going to avoid falling off the stage and ending the show quickly. So, how's everybody doing? Good. First off night in a very long time for me. I'm spending it with you guys.
How does your wife feel about that?
It'll be silence on the other end of the phone. Yeah, right from spring training into a 7-game homestand. And first off night, I'm doing pitch talks, of course.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate having you here.
Good to be here.
Spinning off of spring training, how did you assess coming into spring training, what you wanted to see from your team, and how do you think they lived up over the course of those 6 weeks or so?
Well, I mean, I think one thing you really try not to do in spring training is try not to evaluate. There's an old baseball guy named Johnny Gorel who actually lives in Orlando, came over to visit us in Dunedin this year, but probably taught me more about baseball than anybody else I've ever met. I think this is like his 67th spring training in uniform. He's with the Indians now. And, Johnny told me my very first spring in Tucson, Arizona in 1992, we were watching a game and a guy, hit a bomb and he goes, "Mullion, what blooms in the spring wilts in the summer." So my son now repeats that line to me all the time. But, it basically is true. You can get, if you're making evaluations in spring training, your team's probably not where you want it to be, and, you're apt to make a poor decision because you're making it on a small set of information rather than, a player's career or an entire season. That being said, there were some really good things in spring training. Most of those things happened after the regulars left the games, when the backups came in. So you watch a lot of spring training games, and the difference from this year to last year and last year to the year before, this is a remarkable, just tidbit of information that I never even heard and hadn't really thought about. And I think would probably in 28 years be the only time I could ever say this. We didn't have one non-roster invite until Danny Espinoza came in late that was outside of our organization that was a position player. So that's remarkable. That means our system is getting deeper now, where we felt like the players we wanted to see back up our big league players were our own players, which is a good sign. So, and obviously some of those guys are really talented, really special guys as well.
Right.
So.
I have to ask, and I'm sure you're going to get a lot of questions about this, but what was it like for you to have an infield one day of Clemens, Biggio, Bichette, and Guerrero Jr.?
I mean, that's just more fun than anything else. It was kind of weird to look at and weird to think about. I think if you say you'd probably want, if you, it was the Clemens, you probably want him on the mound, not in the infield. And I know, Cavan's dad, Craig, and he was actually a catcher when he started before he became a second baseman. So, but yeah, those kids, all four of them actually, are not just talented players, but they're unbelievable makeup guys. There's their respect for the game, their level of professionalism, the kind of teammates all four of them are. And obviously, Casey and Cavan are much older. They're major college players. They played at Notre Dame and University of Texas. Different set of experiences than kids that were just high school kids or even before high school that entered in at 16 and 17, 18 years old. So their maturity is even more different, but that also makes Bo and Vladdy even more exciting because they're 19 and 20 years old and they, are about to, start the season at AA, which is pretty remarkable. And if you look at the trajectory in general of great players, they're going through farm systems at that pace.
Fast forward to last week, and we're back in Toronto, 4-3 against the Yankees and the White Sox. How did you think that those two series at homestand went for the team?
Well, I thought about that, driving home last night, and I think my, my bitterness at losing last night was like, I get greedy, I mean, I mean, once we were 4-2 and we should have won that game last night, I think we should have been 5-2, you know. But that being said, if you told me, hey, you're going to split with the Yankees, you're going to take the series from the White Sox at the start of the season, I would have said that's what we should do. That's what we expect. But that's a good start. So that's how I feel. It was a good start. We did what we should do. We did what we expected. It never happens exactly the way you think it's going to happen. A couple decades in the game, and I'm still haven't figured out a way to blow the whistle and save some of those 14 runs. Damn. If you can figure out how to do that, let me know. Like, I still, you know, still every one of those games that's like a blowout, I'm like, there's got to be a way to blow the whistle, you know? Stop. 9 runs, we're good. Save 5 for tomorrow. 2 would have been fine the next day. There are a lot of good things. We need to get our starters to get us maybe a little later in games. I'm worried about, you know, the pace of bullpen, mm-hmm. you know, the toll we're putting on the bullpen, but it's still early. And I think a lot of things going about as we expected, and a lot of guys are going to get better, and some guys will pull back and cool off a little bit. That's the nature of a season.
And then fast forward again, and here we are at Pitch Talks when you have your first night off. So thank you again for being here. We are going to get to questions. I guess I'll go get them.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it's the awkward pause now. We watch you go over and get the bucket, and Noah's going to run down and help you out. Okay.
My mother always said she wanted to send me to finishing school, but I think that I just succeeded right there. Okay, so first question of the night. Here's a question while I get this started. You were not supposed to put questions in here. You guys don't follow instructions very well. But I'm going to ask this question for Patrick.
Okay.
Do you feel responsible?
If it's really bad, Patrick, I'm going to make you stand up, find you.
Do you feel responsible for the Cleveland Indians' success?
First of all, if I was still there, if I would, no matter what role or title, I would never, ever in my life, no matter what happened, say I would feel responsible. I guess, do you feel part of? I feel pride in a lot of the people there who were a big part of my career. You know, Chris Antonetti, obviously won Executive of the Year last year. He was my assistant for 9 years, and he started as an entry-level guy. You know, with the Indians. So I care about Chris. I love Chris. I'm proud of him for the executive he is, the person he is, and the leader he is. And that, you know, extends down through that system. It's really about people. I think any of us that define a career, any of us that think about what legacy is meaningful, they think about the people and the relationships they've had. So whether it's players there, knowing what's behind Corey Kluber, you know, knowing how hard he works, knowing that it's embarrassing to walk in the weight room when he's in there because of the way he goes about his preparation. Things like that I take pride in. But I was just telling Ross today, like, we go to Cleveland next week. I'm going to go in mostly because my son wants to go back and see his friends. And I think about it less and less. I mean, I'm really not thinking about it that much. And Ross and I were saying, like, it would be nice to go back to Cleveland if it wasn't for the competitive side, that we just want to go back there and beat them, you know? So it was weird that first year. You know, the ALCS was kind of strange. It gets less and less strange all the time. Now it's just about the people and caring about those people, really.
Right. You've got a new team to focus on, I guess,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. No
keeps
doubt.
You busy.
Plenty.
So I'm going to call out a few names, and if you guys could put your hands up, that would be great. The first name is Bill W. from Bowmanville. Thanks for coming. Bill is right here.
Hey, Bill.
Sue Ross. Sue is right here, right in the front.
We're staying up front.
Louis Brown?
There you go.
Louis?
Hey, Bill.
How are you doing?
Good. How about you, man?
I've seen every game, every inning so far. And,
all right. I don't know whether that's good or scary. I'll call it good.
I've been a Jay fan since Joey McLaughlin was the closer, so
right.
I've been around a while. My question is, are you concerned about the Blue Jay reliance on the home run? It seems they have trouble scratching out runs, and they're just waiting for the big bomb.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can do about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, if I felt like that was going to be the nature of the team all year? You know, I'd say yes. You don't want to be dependent on hitting home runs to be productive. We're still in the process of kind of thinking about, you know, and I guess someone asked me this the other day, listen, you don't ever have the luxury of saying this is exactly how we want to score every run. This is exactly the kind of team we want to build. You know, we have some really, really talented hitters in the middle of our lineup who have been the hottest guys, you know, and we've largely scored runs through them and a couple other guys that have hit home runs. But I think the team's capable of scoring runs other ways. But, you know, I guess basically I take scoring runs any way we can do it. You know, I think, you know, whether they're homers or whether we're manufacturing them, the goal would be to prevent runs and score runs, and there are multitudes of ways to do that.
I have to ask, how did you feel about Kevin Pillar stealing home? Did you think you're going to get a run that way?
It was a pretty cool, I mean, you could kind of feel that happening just the way, you know, he wasn't paying attention to him when he stole second and stole third. You know, I look at those things that's the coolest part of the game. That's why you still watch every inning, right? Like, you've never seen it all. You never know when you're going to see something you haven't seen before, ever, you know, no matter how long, you know. So you've been watching every game for you know, decades, and I've been in the game for 28 years, and I still start every game thinking I may see something tonight. I hope it's something I want to see. I may see something tonight that I've never seen before, and that's a cool thing when you're talking about a game that's been around for hundreds of years, you know.
We'll take it down here to Sue.
Hi.
Hey, Sue.
Hi. I'd like to know why there's no more state of the franchise for season ticket holders.
Yeah.
Because we're season ticket holders, and it's an event that we really enjoyed. We like hearing
Easy for me to answer. I guess it comes down to, you know, we wanted to have an event and have events that were more about the players. Like, you know, I think it's great you want to hear from the front office, but I tend to take the standpoint of most people don't want to hear from the front office. They want to hear from John Gibbons. They want to hear from Sanch. They want to hear from Devin Travis. They want to see Josh Donaldson. So we had Winterfest this year, which was really, really cool. And within Winterfest, by the way, we offered some exclusive opportunities to come and hear me speak. If you really, really want to hear me speak, we offered like a really small setting, much smaller than the State of the Franchise, where I spent, you know, 2 different hours with season ticket holders answering questions in an environment like this. And Ross did the same thing, and, you know, a couple other people. Next year, we're going to expand that to our farm director, Gil Kim, and have him come up, and Ben Sherrington, and let them talk about our prospects. So I think we accomplished something that was really special. You know, we took a day in January, and next year it'll be 2 days in January. It was all Blue Jays. We had almost our entire team there, which people thought wasn't possible. They would come up to Toronto in January. We had them connect directly with our fans and spend time with them. We had them play ping pong with them. We gave tours of the clubhouse. And if you really still want to see a tired front office executive, we still have rolled the front office executive out for you so you could ask some questions. So I think it was just taking one benefit to season ticket holders that was just about front office guys and saying, let's make it about the team and the players. And if you still want to hear front office guys, I'm still there for you anytime. Yeah. And I'm happy, by the way, anytime, and I'm sure someone here will tell you that you can send me an email, you can make, and I'll return your email. I'll answer your question. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Is there a Louis Brown? I can't.
Louis, right here, right here. Lurking in the shadows.
Okay.
All right, I see the hand. That's all I can see.
Can you stand?
Yeah, stand up, man.
There you go.
I still can't see your face,
you.
Though.
Sort of.
All right.
Can you see me? I'm standing now.
Yeah, I got you now.
Last year, pitch talk, I talked to you about emphasizing about speed and the extra base and stuff like that, and, you know, speed never slumps, so I was like, I was wondering, did you emphasize that over the spring training and like the off season? Is that why we got to such a good start with, like, let's say Kevin Pillar, as well as like yesterday Morales took second? I know last year we finished second.
Morales' name and speed evoked a chuckle.
No. But
he has lost some weight.
Saying,
come on, look at
I'm
the guy.
He took
yeah.
second. He took second on the throw. So I'm like, is that something you're trying to emphasize? Like, I was shocked when I saw.
No, our base running's been aggressive in general. Yeah.
Yeah, compared to last year, it wasn't. Saying as much. Yeah. So is that something that was like adjusted or changed?
I think you know, DeMarlo and Gibby did a good job in spring training, and Mike Mordecai in that new, you know, in that role as a, you know, the extra coach has done a good job emphasizing our base running. I would say this, that championship teams pay attention to details. They focus on little things. They recognize that the margin between winning and losing is often something that other players just take for granted and don't pay attention to. Speed, getting the club to be a faster team, is not like a quick thing. That's got to be something that you emphasize as you scout, as you develop, and then ultimately building a club over time. So there was no button to push to say, we're going to take this existing group of players and just get faster. That's something that as we make decisions over time. And again, I would say, you know, if you're fast and can't hit, it doesn't matter. So you still need to get on base. You still need to hit. You still need to drive and run. You still need to be, you know, a good defender and prevent runs. So there's a balance in there to building a team. But the one thing I've always noticed about speed is it it's hard to watch a team that's not scoring and is slow. And it definitely, you know, strikes at a raw chord with fans and front office people too, is when you're not scoring and you're slow, it can be tough to watch. It can be really tough to watch. So, but I would still say, you know, there have been plenty of teams that have scored a lot of runs that didn't have a whole lot of speed. If you go back and look, it's just, there are a lot of different ways to do it, and I wouldn't get caught up with any one way. It's just, again, about just finding ways to score more.